Today's daf is Ayin Dalet. We're going to start at line number 5 on the daf. Amar Rav Nachman, the line before. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, Amar Rav. Okay, we're dealing with Dinei Ta'arovot. We're continuing with mixtures. Tabat Shel Avodat Kochavim. Now we have a ring that was used for idol worship. Shenit Arva B'mea Taba'ot. It mixed up with 100 other Taba'ot. Vinafla achat mehen liyama gadol. Okay, normally we're going to say this tabad is not going to be batel. Okay, but now because it's significant and it mixes up with 100 other tabaot, but now one of them falls into the yama gadol. Hutru kulam. All of a sudden this matures everything. Da'amrinan hach tenafal hainu de'isura. Because we can assume that the one that fell is the one that was usher. This is exactly like what we ended with yesterday, this Mishnah, which actually is a Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amud Bet, we're going to see soon, which says that if you have Baalei Mumim mixed up with, or you have a Baal Mum animal mixed up with regular animals, so Rabbi Lezer said, Im kareva rosh shalacha mehem yikrivu kol arashim. Right? If you already sacrificed one, then we can assume that the one that was sacrificed was the Baal Mum. Here also, we're going to assume that the tabat that was fell into the Yama Gadol. Why Yama Gadol? Because once something falls into Yama Gadol, it's gone forever. Has to be gone forever. In the case of the Baal Mum, so it was sacrificed already. Like this is obviously in the case where you didn't realize it was a Baal Mum, that you know it was a combination until afterwards, and then you realized. You can't do it lechatchila. In other words, this is all bidieved. If it fell, it doesn't say you can throw it by Yama Gadol, right? It says if it fell. Then hutru kulam. Okay? Because we can assume that the one that fell, that was the Isser one. So now we're going to use our Mishnah as a question on this, because our Mishnah didn't give us that option, right? Etive, who remembers our Mishnah, right? Etive Rav la Rav Nachman, afilu achat beribo. Remember if the kol hazbachim that you got a chatat shemeta or a shorin is called mixed up with them. What did we say? Yamutu kulan, right? All of them have to die. So, amai. Nema demit isur amit. Why don't you say that leave them to die, but once the first one dies, then all the rest can go back and be used, because once the first one dies, you can assume, and as again, you can't actively take a role to do something, but if it already died, then you can assume the first one that died, we can assume is the isur one, and therefore the rest are going to be mutar.
There's no difference between an object that is just an object and other things that are meant to be consumed, whether by Hashem or by man?
No, they don't seem to distinguish here. They seem to say, if we can use this option, then it should work, basically, right? This concept that we don't allow you to separate one and say that was the problematic one, but we do say that if one already was separated, you can rely on probability to say, in other words, then we go back to Batal Barov, which is we can assume that that was the one, and it matures the whole rest of the mixture. Because you have to remember, the whole premise is that Mida Oraita, really, there's Batal Barov. Mida Rabbanan, they said, these are very chashuvim, we're not going to allow them to be Mevutalim. However, since it's all only Darabbanan, once one leaves the pack, the bunch, whatever it is, we now can say that we can assume that was the one, and leave the rest to, you know, the rest can now be dealt with normally. So now we have, on the one hand, Rav says, this tabat, once one falls into Yama Gadol, the rest are mutar, versus our Mishnah, which doesn't give us that possibility, they all have to die, and we can't say once one dies, the rest is done. So just like we answered yesterday, we're going to answer the same thing here, which is, there's different opinions. Amarle, so he answers him back, right, this was a question of Rava on Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman now answers back. Rav de Amar ke Rabbi Eliezer. Rav holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Ditnan. Rabbi Eliezer omer, im karev harosh shelecha mehem, yikrivu kol harashim kulam. In other words, he holds, I already connected this for you, but basically we say, he holds like Rabbi Eliezer, who allows this. Okay, who says it's fine. And then the assumption is, that chachamim, which it's not just an assumption, it's an assumption of our Gemara, but assumption is based on the Mishnah there. If you look quickly at the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amabet, it says there, v'chachamim omrim, at the end of the first Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amabet, v'chachamim omrim afilu kirvu kulam chutz me'echa mehem, yitzeh lebeit ha'srefa. Even if you're done with all of them and you only have one left, it still has to go out lebeit hasreifa. In other words, the last one, if you left one over, let's say you sacrificed them all only after you realize, oh no, balmum, even if there's only one left, which means like the chances are that you've already, you know, dealt with the balmum, you've already sacrificed it, that one has to go where all kodshim go, which is lebeit hasreifa. Okay, it has to be burned because it's kodshim that are psulim. So chachamim basically say this doesn't work. Okay, the fact that one left, or even the majority of them left, and you could assume it was in the majority, the balmum was in the majority, he doesn't care. He says, no matter what, nothing to do, this is never batel, even in this way. So we basically simply say, our Mishnah matches Chachamim, and Rav holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay? So again, like I said, the same type of answer we keep having, which is there's different ways of looking at this, different opinions, and therefore, whenever something seems to contradict, we just say, oh, that's someone else's opinion. Now they say, wait a minute, though. The Gemara there says, V'ha'amar Rabbi Elazar, the Emora, says about Rabbi Eliezer, Lo hitir Rabbi Eliezer, ela shnayim, aval echad echad lo. Let's say you took one balmum and you stuck, one animal from this mixture of balei mumim, right? We had a balmum mixed up with regular animals. You took one, you put it on the mizbech. So Rabbi Eliezer says, the rest are mutar. The Gemara now says, they're not totally mutar. They're only mutar if you sacrifice two at a time.
Because then you're sure of never having a mumum.
Then you're sure, yafeh, you're sure that one of them is okay. Now, why exactly this works, there's a bit of a debate. Okay, not only that, there's a bit of a debate about what even this means. Right now I'm explaining one pirush, I'll tell you in a minute another pirush. So one is to say, since you put two on, right, so now you're one you did already, and we can assume that's your mumum, and therefore allows you to sacrifice the others. However, you can't sacrifice them one at a time, because then it could be, at one moment, you're putting on something that's not allowed to go on the mizbech. So you put them on two at a time, which means that the 50-50, in other words, at least 50% of what you're putting on the mizbech is allowed to go on the mizbech. So we allow the other one, mishum safek, to go also.
Why not just use that solution from the start? That would have solved everything right away.
No, because when you know for sure it's there, you can't do that. It's only when you can say, well, maybe it's not here anymore. Then we allow it. That's the difference. Okay? It's like we saw if all 10 people bring it at the same time, we know the suffix in there. There might be more of an issue in that case. So it's the same type idea. Once we take one, once one is removed from the situation, then we can use probability and say, well, you know, chances are that it's no longer here, or at least it's not really chances are, because the probability that was, but there is a chance, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Another possible, it's a little hard to understand why two makes a difference, because still, it's possible that 50% of what you're putting on the mizbech is a problem. Some people say they use the migo term here. Migo means, right, mitoch. It's a little used differently than classic migo, that since one is kasher, we can assume the other is kasher. Again, it's not exactly a logical answer. The Rambam actually says it's, he looks at it differently. He says the shnayim shnayim means that not after the first one was sacrificed, you have to do two at a time. It's if two were sacrificed. Only if two were sacrificed do we say that now you can assume that it was the balmum was gone, is already done, and therefore you can sacrifice the rest, even one at a time. So he says two have to be sacrificed in order maybe to increase the probability that the balmum is in there. Again, it's not 100% clear why he says that. So anyway, they say, you can't say Rav holds like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer only allowed it, shnayim, shnayim. And according to Rav, he just said, right, tabat dafla chat mehen liyam agadol hutru kulan. Doesn't sound like he needs shnayim, shnayim. So, again, Bahama Rabbi Elazar, lo itir Rabbi Eliezer, ela shnayim, shnayim, aval achad achad lo, right, but one at a time wouldn't work. Amarlei, anatarte kamina. So Rav Nachman now comes and says, when I said this in the name of Rav, I meant two. Okay? Meaning that you had to sell, right? Amarav tabacha lavadak kochavim. Oh, no, okay. This is the next thing. He doesn't say it explicitly, but what he says is, with Rav, what I meant was, again, whether you take the Rambam, the two fell into Yamagadol, or whether you take the basic interpretation that you can only sell two rings at a time. Okay, now it's more likely to say that you could, I was thinking about it, practically speaking, to say that you could put two animals in the mizbech at a time in order to solve this issue makes more sense. But if you're going to sell these rings, it's not always easy to sell two at a time, right? Normally people buy rings one ring, you'd have to have like a good sale and say, well, two for the price of this, and I'm only willing to sell two at a time. But you can see it might be a little more complicated, okay? But that's how he answers it. He says, if you're going to hold it, that's what Rabbi Eliezer meant, then I'd say the same thank you. Okay, another case of Rav. I'm a Rav. Tabat shel avodat kochavim shenitara b'mea tabaot. Okay, same case. It's now 1 in 100, which again is not going to be canceled because of chashivut. Upershu arba'im l'makom echad v'shishim l'makom acher. Okay, now we end up with 40. They get separated, this 100. So now you have 40 in one spot and you have 60 in another spot. Now where are we going to assume the tabat is? In the 60, because there's a majority, right? The majority is there. So let's see if that works, okay? Pirsha achad me'arba'im eina oseret. Achat mishishim oseret. So now if you take one out of that 40, it's going to be forbidden. I'm sorry, it's going to be permitted. But if you take one out of the 60, it's going to be forbidden. So now they say, Maishna echat me'arba'im delo. D'amrinan isura beruba ita. Echad mishishim nami amrinan isura beruba ite. So now they say, but if you say, in other words, really in the end, why is 1 out of 40? Because we assume that the isur is in the rov. Okay, but echad mishishim, you could also say that the isur is in the rov, which means if you take one out of there, what are the chances are that this is going to be the forbidden one, and therefore it should also be allowed. So therefore, they explain it differently. Ela im pershu arba'im kulam lemakom echad, which means if 40 separated and got mixed up with another group of rings, okay? That's what we're going to assume the assumption, the Gemara means here. If 40 of them went and then ended up mixed up with another ta'arovet, ein osrot, but shishim lemakom echad osrot. But if the 60 get mixed up with another bunch, then they're going to be forbidden. Okay? And the assumption is that with the 40, we're going to assume it's a sfeik sfeika, right? Sfeik whether the ring is there, and then sfeik whether when you end up with another combination, right? Sfeik, is it there?
So it's still hope b'dieved, or can you do that to deal with the problem of chila?
So I think it's only b'dieved. It's only if they ended up there. Okay, but with the shishim, since there's more of a chance that it's within the 60, we don't allow that to work. Okay, because we're assuming that it's in the 60. So therefore, you don't have a sfeik sfeika, because we don't say sfeik whether the ring is here, because more chances are that the ring is there. So therefore, the sfeik is only now that the 60 mixed up and you took one out, is that the one that's the problem, the problematic one? And it's kavua, right? Because this is a, right, you know that there's something in there, and then it's kavua, so kol kavua kemechzal mechzadam, so it's a 50-50 chance that you're going to take the forbidden one. Okay, so that's what he says. Okay, this is what Rav says. Ki amarita kameh de Shmuel, but when I told this to Shmuel, who's talking now?
It's a good question. Rav Yehuda still.
What?
Rav Yehuda still.
Rav Yehuda, okay. So when Rav Yehuda now says, when he says this halach in front of Shmuel, Amar lei hanach lavodah kochavim shesveika usveik sveika asura ad sof haolam. So he says, I disagree with Rav. When it comes to avodah zara, it's different than anything else. And even a sveik sveika is going to be forbidden, which means even in the 40, I'm going to say it's asur. Because we know, we learned the sechad avodah zara, we know how chamor avodah zara is. And therefore, because of the chumrah of avodah zara, we're going to be machmir even on sveik sveika. So now we're going to ask a question on Shmuel. Meitive. Safek avodat kochavim asura, usfek sfeika muteret. Ketzad. Okay, so now we're going to learn in this braita, the safek avodat kochavim, if you're not sure, it's asur, and the sfek sfeika is mutar. Ketzad. Kos shel avodat kochavim shenafal la'otzar male kosot. Okay, you have a cup. The assumption is this cup is chashuv. Okay, and it falls into an otzar male kosot. Kulan asurim, all of them are forbidden. Okay, that's basic. Peresh, right, this is, they're not batel at all because of davar chashuv. Peresh echad mehem liribo, umiribo liribo mutarim. If one of them now comes out of this, there's a mixture of kosot, so there's suffix, whether, right, in other words, right now, we have a mixture. If you would take one from there, it's suffix. That's a regular suffix. But if you mixed it into another combination of, let's say, 100,000, they're just saying that for exaggeration purposes, but if you mix them up into a big batch of something, another batch of cups, and, right, whether that or meribo leribo, or even, you know, one from there into the next batch, either one of those cases is going to be mutarim. And that's because it's a sveika, because now the second combination, you're not sure, did the cup that left the first combination, was that the forbidden one? And now, when you take one out of here, you don't even know, was it the forbidden one from there, or was it something from the new batch, which is all permitted? So therefore, what do you see from this braita? Sveik sveika, even by avodah zarah, is mutar. And Shmuel said, sveik sveika is asur. Right? Shmuel said specifically, by avodah zarah, sveik sveika is asur. And here we just said, sveik sveika is mutar in avodah zarah. Braita said it. So again, what are we going to have to say? There's different opinions. Here it's going to be a little more complicated, though. So now they say, oh, tanaihi, this is a machloket tanaim. But instead of bringing a case, which we would have hoped, of avodah zarah, they're bringing a regular case, not avodah zarah. It's going to be a truma case. And they're going to say, right, now we're going to have a bit of a problem, because they're going to say there's a machloket, but now we're going to be stuck, because if you say it's only unique halacha by avodah zarah, then we're going to find that neither of these opinions matches up. Okay, so we'll see that inside, if you didn't catch it all yet. Tanaihi, it's a machloket tanaim, ditanya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rimonei Badin, we saw this before, these Rimonim that come from Badin, they were Davar Chashuv, Osrim Bekol Shehu, okay, they're forbidden in any combination. Ketzad, how does it work? Nafal Acha Mehen L'toch Ribo, Umi Ribo L'Ribo Asurin. Here comes Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, when it comes to, we're obviously talking about a Rimon that was Truma, let's say, okay, and it fell into this combination, so we're going to basically say, even though truma is usually echad b'matayim will be canceled, I'm sorry, echad b'mea, we're not going to allow it to be canceled because it's a davar chashuv. Okay? Yeah. Even though it's a davar chashuv, just like the kos for avodah zarah, what do we say? But if it fell, if you took one rimon out of this mixture, right, where there was only one problematic one and it was in a combination, and we put it in another bunch, and then we took from there and put it into another bunch. Now you know why they went two levels. Because now they're saying even sveik, sveik, sveika, okay, is still asur. That's what Shmuel said. Ad olam. So this would seem to match Shmuel, except what? Shmuel said it's only by avodah zarah. And this is even in non-avodah zarah items. And that's going to be part of the problem. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon. Liribo asurin, umiribo lishlosha, umishlosha lamakom acher mutar. He says, if it falls into 100,000, it's forbidden. But if you take one from there and you put it into three other rimonim, okay, which he's saying even three would be enough. Okay, we'll see in a minute why you need three. It should, in theory, be how many? Two. Two should be significant as long as you have a majority of good and one not good, should be fine. Soon as you take out the shlosha, and if obviously mishlosha lamakom acher, and then you take from those three into another mixture, it will be mutar. Okay, so now you see that one says it's forbidden forever, and one says sveik sveika mutar. But now they're going to say, so Shmuel damar keman, ki Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't match Rabbi Yehuda, because afilu b'shari surim asur. Because Rabbi Yehuda said, even in rimonim it'll be a problem, even in truma. Right, which means he doesn't hold it's a unique halacha only for avodah zarah, whereas Shmuel said it's unique only for avodah zarah. Be'ikar Rabbi Shimon, afilu b'avodah kachavim nami shari. And if you say like Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon said by rimonim, by truma, that sveik sveika mutar, but maybe Rabbi Shimon says by avodah zarah that it wouldn't be. In other words, then you can, in theory, have it match, but we're going to say no. Rabbi Shimon thinks this across the board. We know he doesn't hold this by avodah zarah. How do we know this? We're going to say in a minute. Maybe you would say, like we said, maybe it's perfect. It's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says sveik sveika is mutar in truma, but by avodah zarah he would think it's not. But if you want to say that he distinguishes between avodah kochavim l'shari surim, then we have a problem because there's another braita, lahad etanya sveik avodah kochavim asura usveik sveika muteret mani lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbi Shimon. if we say that even Rabbi Shimon holds that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, we're going to be machmir, then neither Rabbi Shimon nor Rabbi Yehuda thinks that Sveik Sveika is, neither one thinks that Sveik Sveika is muteret in Avodah Kochavim. In other words, you then have that everybody thinks in Avodah Zarah, there's no Sveik Sveika, that Sveik Sveika is always asur. And the Braita says that someone holds that Avodah Kochavim Sveik Sveika muteret. And the assumption is, if they're having this machloket about Rimonim, then one of them, one of those opinions has to match this Braita. In other words, the assumption is there isn't a third opinion, because if there was a third opinion, we'd have brought it in that Braita. So you can't say that both of them are machmir when it comes to Avodah Kochavim, because it doesn't match this Braita. So therefore, Mani, lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Shimon, say, how could you say that Shmuel is based on a machloket Tanaim? Because he doesn't match either one. Okay, remember, because one holds it across the board there, and the other one holds it across the board, his opinion. And he distinguishes one and the other. So what do we simply say? Lo'olam Rabbi Shimon. He does hold like Rabbi Shimon. The Braita, Safek Avodah Kochavim Asua, Usfek Sveka Muterit is Rabbi Shimon, which means Rabbi Shimon holds it across the board. Sveik Sveka is always going to be Mutar. Ushmuel, Savralaka Rabbi Yehuda Bechada, Upaligale Bechada. And then we simply say, it's not that there were these three Tanaitic opinions. There's two Tanaitic opinions. One holds it's across the board, Mutar. And one holds Sveik Sveka is across the board, Asur. But Shmuel comes along and picks and chooses. He says, well, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, but I don't hold like him when it comes to Terumah. I only hold by him when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Okay, so he's basically saying, Shmuel can come and say, well, I only hold like him in a particular case. Okay, in other words, then in theory, it's said a little weird, because Shmuel, in essence, is holding like both of them, really. Okay, Amar Mar. Now we're going to go back to the shlosha. Why does it say shlosha? Miribo l'shlosha u'mishlosha l'makom acher mutar. Maishna shlosha d'ikaruba, shnayim nami ikaruba, right? Two would have been enough to say there's a majority, so we could have said it falls into two. So now they answer very simply, maishlosha d'katane, tarte, vihu. What it means is three altogether, meaning when that one falls into the mixture, there'll now be three altogether. In other words, really it falls into a mixture of two others, and the two will cancel out the one, and altogether there's three items in there. It doesn't mean it falls into three, it means altogether there's three items, including that one. Okay, that was an aside. Now go back to our main question. So our main question we had was Shmuel. Shmuel, who says that Hanach l'avodah kochavim shesveka usveik sveka asura ad sof ha'olam, and this is only a halacha unique to Avodah Zarah. He didn't seem to hold like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. We gave this answer that, well, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in one thing, but disagrees with him about something else. Now they're going to give a different suggestion. Ibait Ema, maybe you could say more simply, Savra laki Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, maybe he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, we have to see what Rabbi Eliezer is. If you have Rashi, you can look in Rashi here, which isn't Rashi, but it appears where Rashi is. It says, Jitunam b'masechet Avodah Zarah. If you look at let's start with the fifth line. It's where the lines get narrow. Afabo etapat. Okay, so we saw this case in Avodah Zarah. If you have an Avodah Zarah that gets, like wood of Avodah Zarah that goes into your fire, and you lit up your oven using this, which is Yisurana'a, so it says, Afabo etapat asura bahana'a. Okay, so if you baked bread in this oven that you burned firewood that was Avodah Zarah, and it's now, your bread is asur bahana'a. Nitarva ba'acherot, va'acherot ba'acherot, asurot bahana'a. Okay, so if they're all going to be asur b'hana'ah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, yolich hana'ah liyam ha'melach. Okay, now really this can't possibly be yam ha'melach, because what happens in yam ha'melach? It floats. The idea is, it's like we saw before, it has to go to the yam ha'gadol where it's going to sink. Okay, we want it to disappear forever, not only sink, but in yam ha'gadol there's waves, it's going to be drifting far away. So Suva means Yama Gadol. Okay, so what does he say? He basically says, if you want to be able to use this, then you have to take out, in other words, you can't benefit from it. So you have to throw away the amount of benefit that you got from the Avodah Zarah wood that you've used. And then the rest is going to be mutar. Okay, so if you have this pot that you baked, which is your Hana'ah that you got from Avodah Zarah, it mixed up with another combination, what can you do? If it falls into Yam HaMelach, or here it even says you can take it to Yam HaMelach, then then it's okay. Because you basically are saying, I'm not getting any hana'ah. Remember, you can't get hana'ah from avodah zarah. I'm not getting hana'ah because the value of what I gained, I've now thrown away. It makes the rest of it mutar. But according to him, what does it sound like? If you don't do that, if you don't get rid of that one, then you're stuck forever. Okay? So therefore, we're going to say that he's machmir in avodah zarah, that it's going to be forbidden forever, even sveik sveika, right here. Znitarei b'acherot v'acherot b'acherot. Sveik sveika, why can't you just take one from there and say, oh, it's fine, and without having to do this, you'll lichana aliyam amelach. So therefore, we can say that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, we're going to have another case now of sveika. Amar Rish Lakish. Chavit shel truma. Now we're going to assume, okay, I'll remind you, we saw this Mishnah before, and you probably didn't pay attention to this. I didn't pay so much attention, so maybe you did. But one of the lists, you remember yesterday we had, what's the list of things that are darkoli manot? Remember we said, Rabbi Meir said, etch darkoli manot mekadesh, Chachamim said, eino mekadesh ela shisha dvarim bilvad. There were only six things, and Rabbi Akiva said seven. And in the list of these six things, or seven things, were chaviyot stumot. Okay, which means sealed barrels. Sealed barrels are considered, barrels of wine, are considered chashuvot. The next Mishnah says, so now what do you do if you have all these things, right, and they're not canceled out? Ketzad, so we say it's only when they're whole, but nitpatzu egozim, nitpardu arimonim, nitpatchu achaviot. Okay, let's just deal with our case. If the barrels were opened already, then they're no longer chashuvim. Okay, it loses their significance as soon as they're open. Okay, so that's the basis for what we're going to learn now. Okay, you have to understand whether they're satum or open. So Rish Lakish says, a chavit of truma, the assumption here that we're talking about a chavit stuma, which is chashuv, which is never going to be canceled out. So we have a chavit of truma, and it's mixed up, nitara b'meah chaviot, and it's mixed up in 100. Okay, now, normally truma is batel ha b'meah, but not if it's davar chashuv, then it's never going to be batel. So we now have our davar chashuv. But nafla achat mehen liyama melech. Okay, also this is going to be liyama gadol. Okay, one of them falls into the yama gadol. Hutru kulam. Okay, again, the same thing we saw that Rav Nachman said, right? If one falls into yama gadol and is gone, we can say that was the one, and now the rest are mutari. Damrinan, hach tenafal di isur nafal. So now the question is, why did Rish Lakish need to bring this, or Rish Lakish actually preceded Rav Nachman, but maybe it's more, why did the Gemara bring both cases? Okay, because in theory, this is exactly the same as what Rav Nachman said. Remember, Rav Nachman said it with the rings of Avodah Zarah, and he said if one of them falls into Yama Gadol, then it's fine. So we now have, the Chaviyot falling into Yama Gadol, and we have the ring of Avodah Zarah falling into Yama Gadol. So why do we need both? Itzrich to Rav Nachman be itzrich to Rish Lakish. De'imi to Rav Nachman hava mina hanemi le'avoda kochavim. De'ein la'mitirin. Now you might have thought, here's a big important klal in davar. This is what we call davar she'esh la'mitirin. Something that can be fixed, we generally say is never canceled out because it can be fixed. Now, what does it mean it can be fixed? So if you have truma, so you can give it to the kohanim. Right? In other words, it has a solution. It's not like it's forbidden, that can't ever be used, but you can actually give it to a kohen. If it's tevel, for example, truma demasra haven't been mufreshim yimena, so you can be mafresh, right? There's all sorts of things. Chametz, after Pesach, you can use it. Now, again, there might have an issue of chametz shavar alava Pesach, but there's certain things that eventually will become mutar, and therefore they're never canceled out. So you might have thought, okay, that only avodah kochavim de'ein la'mitirin we allow if it falls into Yama Gadol, and then we can be matir the rest of them. Aval truma de'yesh la'mitirin lo, but truma which has mitirim. So what can you do basically? What's the solution if you have these 101 chaviot, right? You have 100 of truma, of non truma, and one of truma. So you can sell them all to kohanim. Now you would have to sell one for a lower price, because one is truma, for sure, and then you'd have to, I guess, how does it work, right? You'd have to sell, there's something called dimei truma, like a very low amount, or maybe you'd have to sell them all and just deduct the amount of one chavit. have to basically do something like that. And then you can at least sell them. So you have a solution. It's not like it's all going to go to waste. Of course, you have to find kohanim that could afford to buy your 100 barrels of wine. So you might have thought that truma, since it has materium, so we're not going to allow this solution, right? This is the classic case of where we need a solution, so we're going to allow something that normally we wouldn't allow, but if one happens to fall into Yama Gadol, how the barrel is actually going to fall into Yama Gadol, I'm not exactly sure, right? You can't do it on purpose. But if one actually falls, then we're going to say, okay, the rest are okay. Avav truma, the eshel materium, we might have said no, another, we might have said only with the ringing for Avodah Zarah and not for the rest of them. Ve'imi de Rish Lakish, let's say we just have Rish Lakish with the truma, then you would say, oh, well, even if it has materium, we're going to allow it, then obviously, avodah kochavim not. But what might you have thought? You might have thought in the other direction. Hava mina chavit de min kira nefilata. Aval tabat de lo min kira nefilata lo tzrichi. Now they say it's another interesting factor, which is, and this has to do with the whole marit ayin, what people are going to think. If you have all these barrels of wine and one falls into Yama Gadol, so people are going to notice that. A barrel of wine doesn't fall into the Yama Gadol without anyone noticing. A ring could easily fall into the water and no one would notice. So if that's the case and people knew, now again, Marit Ayin is always a question, what do people know and what do they see and what don't they see? So there's an assumption that they knew you had this combination of rings that were problematic. And since they didn't see one fall and they see that you allow this, they're worried that people might think that it actually would be canceled, and then they'll come to cancel out other rings of Avodah Zarah and things that are chashuv and say, oh, they are batel, even though they're really not. And this shows there was a concern that people would mix up these halachot, which you could see because they're quite complicated and, you know, the details about them are confusing, and therefore they're worried people might see, and what they don't see, right, will cause them to be confused, and therefore we needed both cases to show that even, right, even a tabat, even though, and here now the conclusion is, even though it's not noticeable that it falls, we're still going to allow it, okay, and as you might have thought not, but we're going to allow it anyway, and therefore you need both cases. I'm a rabbi. We're going to continue along this issue of the minkara. Lo hitir Rish Lakish ela chavit de minkara nefilata. Aval te'ena lo. So now they say Rish Lakish only allowed it in a case of a chavit that fell into the water. But if it was a fig that was mixed up with a bunch of other figs and just one fig falls into the water, we're not going to allow it. Okay? Because the assumption is that the fig, right, is not... Now, you'd have to say, first of all, the fig is not something chashuv. So it would have to be a fig that was mixed up, a fig of truma. This would be classic DNA beetle. It's mixed up with 100, which normally, right, it's mixed up, sorry, in 99 or less than 99. So it's not batel. And then the fig falls into the water. We're not going to allow the whole combination because we're going to say no one really noticed that it fell, and therefore that's not going to work. V'Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Te'ena. Rav Yosef says, no, even a teina, which is not so noticeable, because kenefilata kachaliata, when it fell into the batch, it wasn't so noticeable that it fell in. So when it goes out, it's not so noticeable that it goes out, and that's all fine. Now, if you're going to say that when it falls in, and again, this goes back to the Marit Ayin, who's to say people are going to see the teina fall into the kamenet, right? In other words, the problematic truma teina falls into 100, you know, 99 other teinim. So if they're going to notice that, then they would notice that it fell into the water. And if they don't notice that, they're not going to notice it fell into the water anyway, and you don't need them to notice it. So he says even a teina would work. Amar Rabbi Elazar, chavit shel truma shenafla b'mea chaviot. Okay, now he says, if you have a chavit of truma, again, these are chaviot stumot, you have one chavit of truma that falls into 100 chaviot that are sealed. So again, it's not batel b'mea, even though normally truma is batel b'mea. It's not batel here because it's davar chashuv. But what does he suggest you do? Poteach echad mehem. You can open one of them, at which point when you open it, it's no longer davar chashuv. Notel hemena kedei dimu'a v'shoteh. Now, since your whole isur is now echad b'mea, as your one big chavit compared to all the other chaviot. So what can you do? You can assume that you look at these whole 101 barrels as one whole unit with a little bit of truma in each barrel, let's say, ke'ilu, even though the whole barrel of one was truma. You can take out, once you open that, and it's no longer chashuv, now regular dinei bitul should apply to it. But all the rest are chashuvim, so you can't say the truma is batel to this. So what do? Interesting solution. You take out one out of 101, in other words, because you have 101 barrels. So you take out the portion of truma that's proportionally equivalent to the amount of truma you have compared to all the barrels. But in this one barrel, you take out one over 101, vishoteh, and then you can drink the rest of it. Okay, you take it out, and you treat it as truma, and the rest of it you can drink. So now, they say, wait a minute, this disagrees with everything we said, because what did we say until now? When something falls into Yama Gadol, right, it's only because it fell, not because you actually did it. So Yatif Rav Dimi b'kamar la l'hashmata. So Rav Dimi came and said this halacha of Rabbi Elazar. Amar le Rav Nachman, remember the players. Rabbi Elazar is in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Dimi is one of those people that goes back and forth. So when he comes to Bavel, in front of Rav Nachman, he tells Rav Nachman what they were saying in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Nachman says to him, Gama b'shate, in other words, you can open it and drink from it? Like, how can you possibly do that? Kachazina hacha, in other words, you're showing me that this is what you could do? How, can't possibly be. Ela ema, he says, it must be, niftecha achat mehen, you can't open it and cause it to be lo chashuv. But if niftecha achat mehen, but if it happened to have opened, which by itself it became lo chashuv, you can't lechatchila say, oh, I'm going to open it and turn it into something lo chashuv. But if it became something lo chashuv because it opened up, and then already you can say the whole thing is canceled, the chab b'mea, then you can be no telling men a kadeti mu'av v'shoteh.
You know, this whole thing reads like a cheating manual.
Right.
But they're also worried they don't lose money, so just do this.
Right. Well, again, that's why halacha is interesting, because what are they trying to do? They're trying to come up with solutions to save people from, you know, from the halacha sometimes. That's the, right? That's the way it works. Amar Rabbi Yoshaya. Chavit shel truma shenitarva b'mea v'chamishim chaviyot. So now, let's say you have a chavit of truma that's mixed up with 150 chaviyot. V'niftechu mea mehen, and now 100 of them get opened. Okay, again, these numbers seem quite exaggerated, right? To imagine this would happen, but okay. But assuming 100 of them are now opened, notel himena kadei dimua v'shoteh. U'shar asurin ad sheyiftechu. No.
50 of them.
Wait one second. So 100 get opened up, okay? So now you can take out, now in this case, you need to take one out of 151, right? One fell into 150. So one out of 151 you'd have to take out. In other words, a different ratio. The ratio of 1 to 101 wasn't just because classic truma is 1 to 101. It's because that's how much truma there was in this entire combination. So here you'd have to, if 100 of them opened up, you'd have to take out kadei dimua, which would be 1 over 151, vishoten. Then you could drink all of them, but the rest of them are going to be asurim.
You can drink all of them from the open barrels.
Right, only the ones from the open barrels and not the ones that are in closed barrels. Okay, that's the issue here. Right, and the others are forbidden until they happen to open on their own, which matches what we said before about, you know, that you can't go and do it yourself. Why is that? Lo, and as why does this whole thing work? Lo amrinan isura beruba ita. Do you remember? Okay, this goes back to earlier in the daf. What did Rav say? Rav said that if you have 1 in 100, and then you split 40 are here and 60 are there, we can assume that the item is in the 60. So the 40 are fine, but the 60 is not. Here, we don't say that. Here, if 100 open up, you would say, well, wouldn't you assume the majority is in the 100? And the chances are it's in the 100, and therefore the 50 that are sealed should be okay. So what they're saying here is that he disagrees, Rabbi Yoshaya disagrees with Rav. Because Rav would actually hold that the 50 are okay. Because Rav would say, chances are it's in the majority, and it's not in this minority. And the majority, where it's in the majority, right, in the 100, there you've dealt with it already, because it's no longer chashuv, and therefore we can say it's batel in the amount, right, because we have more than 100 keneged, and therefore we use dine bitul, and therefore within each one we take out, you know, it's for each barrel you want to drink, take out one out of 151, which is how much you had of iser, and then you can drink each barrel. But you can't assume that the 50 that are sealed, that, oh, it's just not in there. Okay, again, like we've been seeing all along, there's different opinions about almost everything here, okay? So Rav would say that's, right, that would be okay, the 50. But Rabbi Yoshaya says the 50 are not okay. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up in the next section tomorrow.